KSJD Streaming is sponsored by Osprey PAX, a Montezuma County company since 1990. Osprey PAX, pack your passion, go.
Welcome to The River Trip, a monthly show here on KSJD that focuses on rivers. I'm your trip leader, Leanne Hill. I'm also the program coordinator for Dolores River Boating Advocates, which is a group of conservation-oriented whitewater boaters and river enthusiasts who are working to preserve and restore the recreational and ecological values of the Dolores River. I am thrilled today to have a very special guest. Katie Lee is joining us from her home in Jerome, Arizona. Katie has been a river activist for over 50 years. She has had an illustrious career as an actress, a folk singer, a songwriter, and an author, a poet. I think the list goes on, but her real passion is the Colorado River and Glen Canyon in particular. Katie, welcome to The River Trip. I am so honored to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Leanne, for the invitation. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all the wonderful work you have done for our rivers on the Colorado Plateau. You know, you're a pretty busy lady these days for a gal in her 90s. You've been featured in two recent films, Damnation and Wrenched, and you've been touring a bit with those screenings, I understand. And as always, you're making quite a splash, Katie. How has it been to be part of this current surge of media around environmental issues and environmental activism?
Well, let me tell you that I was never, before these films, convinced at all that I had made any dent in the preservation of rivers or anything to do with it. You know, I know what I've done, the books I've written and the songs I've sung, and I've been out there in front doing that, but it did not sink in that I really had changed people's lives and made a difference. It really blew me away. I've never been convinced until a month ago that it's really true that Miss Katie Lee did something. I got the word out, and people went to work along with me to help me get, you know, other rivers saved and other places that people love, get them to rally and protect. And that's, so I've done it. Hot dog, I can die now.
Wow, that's interesting. I have known of your activism for years, and I feel like you have quite a following. And I do feel like you're sparking a renewed interest in all of this as well through these films. When I go to the screenings, they are hooting and hollering for you, Katie. Are you seeing some new, renewed maybe, activism through this work?
It's really something, isn't it? You know, when at the first screening, which was in Carbondale, the first screening, I guess it was only the third time they showed it anywhere. They'd already won two awards, and this would have been the third one. I believe that's correct. But that audience just screamed all over the place and didn't even hear what was being said after the first few words. And during the Q&A, well, we just had them standing up and clapping, and astounding, just astounding. So I've just sort of, even at 95 and climbing the stairs and riding the bike, I've been going out there every time I get a chance that I can travel, you know, as far as I can travel, and go and help some more people understand that if you don't have the passion for this thing, there's a quote that they are using in Telluride, if you don't have the passion, go home, lock the doors, and die.
Well, that's something that you're not doing. You're really getting out there far and wide. I think you just mentioned while we were talking before the show that that Damnation has won an award in Tennessee. Is that what you said?
I think it was Tennessee, the last one that they wrote me about 10 days ago, or not very long ago. But They're up into the, I think, to almost 25 awards now. Well, I'm not sure. I mean, don't quote me. Just go to the website, Damnation. They'll tell you how many. Believe me, they will.
Well, you're really reaching far and wide. And one thing that we'd love
to... Well, Damnation is reaching far and wide. And Wrenched will do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the movie about the what we all used to do, you know. That's how we all got started with the Earth First. And we were never members, but we did what we did with Earth First. And it got the attention that we intended it to do, to get. And I guess that's where my activism really started, way back in the 50s.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Where did your passion for the rivers and the environment come from? Did it come from those activities and learning and an awareness about that developed? Or is it something that you feel like you were born with or something in between there?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I never went inside until I had to go to school. I'm a desert rat. I was born in Tucson, Arizona. During the war, my dad gave me a 22 rifle, taught me how to shoot it, and I kept the family and food during the Depression and during those years when we had to have stamps for meat. And that kind of thing, you know, is a great foundation for what came later. And I used to go hiking and climbing up in Sabina Canyon. That's how I learned to stick to the slick rock. I'm sure that's where I learned it. I'd go out with a couple of guys that we knew, a couple of cowboys, friends of mine, and we'd spend the night singing in the riverbeds and then hike all day long. So that's the beginning. And then when I went to Hollywood, which was my talent years, and my mother was a singer. My mother was the one who took the artistic side and developed that. I had dramatic lessons when I was in high school, and when I went to Hollywood, I was there for 6 years before I ran the river. And the day I ran that river, I came back and made plans to get the hell out of Hollywood. Because when I saw Glen Canyon in 54, that was the year after I ran the Grand in 53, I knew that I belonged in that place. And that place and I were like glue. That it was part of me, and I was part of it, and there was nothing ever going to separate us.
Now, how did you run the river the first time? Was that an invite, or tell us a little bit about your first time down the river, how that came about?
Tad Nichols, who's a photographer, a man I've known since I was in high school, Tad came to a party that my mother gave for me a couple of years after I'd been in Hollywood and came back to do a concert in Tucson, and he showed this movie that he had taken the first powerboat run down the Grand Canyon. And I sat there that night, and I was just absolutely blown away. I said, I have got to get there. I don't know how, because it was 500 for the upper half, 500 for the lower, and I was not making that kind of money as a little extra, you know, working in movies and television, I mean, and radio. Television hadn't even come in yet. So he called me a month later and said, you want to run the Grand at 10 o'clock at night? He called me. I said, you know, I can't do that, Dad. I don't have that money. And he said, no, you can come if you bring your guitar for the food, pay $50 for your food, bring your guitar and sing to the passengers on the beach at night. And that's how I got there. And then I continued on with Mexican Ad Expeditions. The next year, I went and ran the Glen. And from then on, you couldn't find me from the Glen. And I never ran the Grand after the goddamn dam. Never.
Now, you rafted the Colorado River then something like 16 times, or is that what it
was? 16 to 20. I can't count up. Some of those, I came into it off the San Juan, and others I've come in off of the Yampa and the Green and the Dolores.
Yay. Well, we'd love to hear a little bit about the Dolores and some of your other adventures, Katie. We're going to take a quick station break. Thanks for tuning in today to the River Trip. We're talking with Katie Lee, and you're listening to KSJD. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the River Trip. We're speaking with Katie Lee today. Katie has been an unabashed advocate for rivers and is a passionate activist for restoring Glen Canyon. Katie's also been down the Dolores River, and I think it would be great to hear about that. Katie, tell us, how did you first learn about the Dolores River?
Oh, yeepers, I don't know. I used to talk a lot and write letters between Doc Marston and I, and Doc had run the Dolores several times. It was one of his favorite rivers. And so I just decided, well, I better check that one out. So I don't even remember who we went with, except Merlin Wheeler. Now, Merlin I'd known for, no, I hadn't. I think, yeah, hey, honey, it's too many years ago. But anyway, Merlin was there, and whether it's where I met him or not, I can't recall, it doesn't matter. But from then on, Merlin was one of my closest friends, and I only ran the Dolores once, and I can remember standing on the bank there at the big rapid, what do they call that?
Snaggletooth?
What?
Was it Snaggletooth?
Yeah, Snaggletooth. And I was camped on the left bank, just right below, or it seemed like it was right beside Snaggletooth.
Yeah.
And Merlin, it rained that night, and Merlin didn't have a tent with him. I don't know why. He was enamored of some young lady who was running the river, running the Dolores, and he stood there, I remember, watching her go through, but it rained. He didn't have a tent, and I said, well, Merle, you'll be welcome to sleep in here with me if you keep your hands off me. That'll be fine, and that's the rule, and he spent the night in my tent, and we became very close friends, and then the rest of that trip, I remember banging into the right wall just below Snaggletooth. I was with somebody's boat that didn't really know what the heck they were doing, didn't have a clue. That much I remember, and I just remember the rest of the trip being absolutely perfect, beautiful scenery, and we got out there where the little bridge crosses the road, and you go winding back up out of the canyon. I've even forgotten the names of all those places, but I do remember it was a lovely trip, and I was always glad to have run it.
I'm glad you ran it as well. It's a special place.
Well, that was before the dam. I know that.
Yeah.
They were starting construction, I think, around the time I ran it.
Oh, is that right? Well, let's talk about that surge of dam development there and your experience with the Glen Canyon. I know that was a difficult time, and I think, and maybe in both movies, but you mentioned that you really didn't think at the time that it could really happen.
Anybody who'd seen that place would have to have been out of his mind. It didn't cross their minds. And the people down there at Height, Utah, my last book is about those people that got drowned out at Height, it was called Dandy Crossing before Cass Height came along and renamed it. But The Ghost of Dandy Crossing, the last book I wrote, is about those people. And we just didn't, until they said, hey, we know. We've had to go down and prove out our claims, our uranium claims, and make sure we get paid for them because they are going to drown this canyon. And I just, oh, no, nobody be that stupid. Oh, yes, the Reclamation Bureau is that stupid.
Well, that was an interesting time in the West, and of course, we experienced it here with the Dolores River. tell us, you know, the next time that you, did you actually see the water filling in the reservoir?
Oh, Lord, yes, I went back for 2 years. In fact, I have these pictures of it rising in the same spot and covering up everything beautiful below it. And I took it for 2 years because I thought maybe I could get to some above some bottlenecks in the canyons that I'd already hiked below. But you know, that it was no fun. That's what that river and that's what those canyons are for. They're to tell you, hey, you can't go any further. Uh-uh. No, the rest is mine. This part up here is a secret. And then the canyon would laugh, and I had to turn around and go home, go back to camp. But then I just couldn't take it after the second year. I just went for I went for a week, and by the end of the week, I was a wreck, crying all the time. I just, my name, my little runabout boat, I named it Screwdriver with a space between the D and the R. And then I just never went back after 1964, I think it was. The dam, the locks closed on January 21st, 1963, and I quit after 65, and I went back.
Well, now you've been active with the Glen Canyon Institute and other organizations. What would you like to see? I know that you'd like to see Glen Canyon restored. What does that mean to you?
Well, I've got mixed emotions about it now with all the idiots running around in their four-wheel and three-wheel drive things scarring up the slick rock everywhere. They, you know, they don't stay to the roads. They do whatever they damn please, and they will, you know, they'll rip that place apart. It'll never be like it was before unless it's protected, and I don't know how you could protect that area with all that slick rock behind. That's Navajo sandstone, Kayenta Wingate. No, it's a hard choice. Actually, people ask me, wouldn't you just rather see it, you know, drown so nobody can get to it? Yes, in a way, I would. But if the place is protected, many, many people are going to be totally and completely astonished because it comes back just over a matter of 2 or 3 months. With the kind of weather we used to have, the side canyons flush out and bang, they're right back where they used to be. Because we've seen that happen when the res foul has been lowered and way down half its capacity now. We can see what happens. But with global warming, we don't know now whether we're going to have enough rain to flush them out. I would like to see the dam go. I want the river to live, regardless of whether I ever or anybody else ever gets back into those canyons. That river should live. And like as before, the first thing I wanted to do was blow it up, but I don't know how to blow things up like that, and I don't know anybody else who does. I think if I did, I'd hire them, but I don't know. And that's not the way it's going to happen anyway. Mother Nature is taking care of it very quietly and beautifully by herself. They told them not to build it in that sandstone. It is terribly porous. And that reservoir leaks more than anyone in the whole country. It practically runs a river on one side of the dam. She'll take care of it. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Well, that I was just going to ask you, unfortunately, we have to wrap up the show, and I was going to ask you, what is your parting wisdom for us today? Maybe that was it, or maybe you have something else to share.
Just go out and protect your places. That's it. Protect your loved places. Don't let somebody mess with them. Start making a noise, jump up and down, scream, yell, whatever gets attention. I guess that's it.
Oh, Katie, you've been a great mentor to many of us, and I thank you for sharing your time today and the work that you do. I encourage people to pick up her books. I'm reading Sandstone Seduction right now. Fabulous book. There's The Ghosts of Dandy Crossing. You have several. I would encourage people to visit Katie's website. That's katiedoodit.com, and it's katiedoodit.com. Did I get that right, Katie?
Yep, you did it. Katie Dood It, because I dood it.
You dood it. It sounds like you dood it all. It's been an exciting life for us to, just kind of follow as we can. And I also encourage folks to take a look at these lovely portraits from Glen Canyon before the reservoir. Incredible, incredible pieces. And they are available to order. Is that right, Katie?
That's right. And there's a little saying besides each one, because it's what I was thinking when those aren't posed pictures. It's what I used to do in the canyon. And what I'm thinking in those portraits is right there beside them.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing those with the world as well. You've been listening to The River Trip on KSJD, brought to you by the Dolores River Boating Advocates. Thank you for tuning into this very special show. And to learn more about us, please visit our website at www.dolorisriverboating.org and visit our Facebook page. Thanks, folks.